Welcome to another edition of Membership World Podcast. My name is Gordon Glenister, and I'm the founder of Membership World. This edition is sponsored by our friends at RD Mobile, the complete membership events engagement platform. But before we get started, please don't forget to subscribe to this podcast just to make sure that you don't miss a future episode. Now, in today's episode, I'm talking with Dario Betti, who's the CEO of the Mobile Ecosystem Forum, FMEF for short, which is a global association that champions the mobile phone industry. He started by telling me about MEF.
MEF, the Mobile Ecosystem Forum, starts as a mobile entertainment forum. So in the year 2000, so it's been around for 24 odd years. At the time, and I say entertainment because the idea of bringing entertainment services to a mobile phone in the year 2000 was quite forward. And some people were really looking down and said, well, what is that? Well, it turned out that there was realizing there were many more things that's going to happen on a mobile phone. There was a great promise. Unfortunately, there's also going to be a lot of bad behavior, whether it is, you know, ringtones and subscriptions you didn't want to pay, etc. So then the association grew into multiple directions. So right now we look at the many things that we do with the mobile phones and we've been doing for so long. So for video content, advertising, enterprise services, there's a long list. We also have that line of protecting the consumers to make sure that this is an ecosystem, is sustainable, it protects the end users, etc. Our system, if you want to talk about the membership itself, it became obvious that you could have had seven separate associations, each one looking at one verticals. Let's look at the content in mobile, let's look at the marketing services, let's look at payments. But then each one of them was going to be too small for the economy to scale. So we are very careful looking at how much is the administration spend on company versus how much we generate value to members. So we try to keep the administration spend well under the 20% benchmark rule. And in order to do that, that means that we have six associations effectively, all sitting within one roof. Lots of members with very, very different approaches, and not all the members share the same interests, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting you say that because more and more people want to be in their own communities, their own hubs, don't they? You know, and it's one of the challenges often membership organizations is when they offer such wide ranging benefits that they're not always relevant to every type of member, which is why you often have these special interest groups and these breakaway groups. But I think what you've done is you've created these associations, but an umbrella under the forum, which makes absolute sense.
Yeah, and I would probably say in some of the things that we end up doing, and hence having the ecosystem on our title, is it's very difficult to make change, to create change, have an impact, by looking in something which is value chain-wise so complex as a mobile. You've got so many different companies, but just being one part. So the ecosystem view that starts from, you know, the far end service provider to companies, merchants, and in-between solution providers, all of those people need to talk to each other to have some impact. And I would say cybersecurity is one of the examples. It's the entire chain that needs to be secure. You cannot just secure one part of it. So that's another example of where we thought that debate, it's important to have its own vertical discussions, but you need to bring it back to the wider ecosystem as well.
Yeah, indeed, indeed. So what are some of the big issues of the mobile industry that we're facing today?
Well, I think a lot of us within COVID and so on have seen the importance of mobile and the fact that our telecommunication services are becoming by de facto mobile. But equally, the digital transformation that's generated or has been fueled by the COVID years as well has set up a long list of homework and to-dos list. Are we ready for a truly digital world? Actually, there seems to be quite a few spots that needs to be considered, whether it's self-regulations, regulations, and other things. Are we as consumers fully educated about some of those things? There's more to be done. And the education goes to the level of our members, how we brought forward the agenda and how we take it to the different parts of industry. Finally, I would say how we as association, something that you mentioned, Gordon, before, we work with others because can we have impacts just by working as our staff? So by the year 2018, MEF went through a bit of a realization and said, how are we going to build a series of partnerships? who else is going to help us to deliver our agenda? So we now believe that working with other member associations is much more important as well. And that, again, with the digital transformation, became even more important. So now we cover ourselves on those three wide areas, if you want. Partnership with others, education with our members themselves, and protection of the overall consumers, etc.
I mean, what about stuff like the growth of AI and 5G technology? I mean, it's having such a profound impact, isn't it, in our society now? But I still think there's a massive educational need on understanding how valuable this is going to be, but also some of the threats that go along with it.
Yes, and that element of wonder has been almost a trade union for all the things we've done at MEP. When we started talking about mobile, we were saying, this is going to change your world. And people did not fully understand the impact is going to happen. So we kept on saying, will 5G change the world? I believe yes and no. 5G is part of a long series of evolution. It is that, you know, evolution of data and so on. By itself, 5G is an important chapter. Not the final chapter, not a distinguished chapter themselves. I think we're going to be others. And so we probably try to market it too much. But AI, which you touched on, which is newer. Well, I say newer in itself, AI is the result of other things we talked about. First, it was big data, it was machine learning, and then now it's AI. And these hypes have gone up and down at some point. But it's probably the level of maturity that AI brings in that really shows that a lot of things will happen. So we've already been living these progressive changes in data and how we use data to do things. It is going to change a lot of the business out there. It's going to change a bit of our life as well. I like to compare our industry to some other things. So in 2016, you know, from 16, 17, we've seen really Ford creating the modern car industry, right? And there's been car been around for another 20, 30 years before. But it took probably another 50 to 60 years of a time to come up with a series of regulations, seat belts, anything in, you know, protections for the customers, the drivers, the business who were using it, as well as the people around it. And I think we probably don't have a luxury of doing 50, 60 years of AI. We need to be able to be much faster and much better in understanding the potential and write a few basic rules, at least, to see where we're going. Now, there are some signs in Europe, you've seen in Brazil, etc. So there, in China. So there is plenty happening. But again, that's a great homework for us all. You know, that's the next chapter and a great wonder of the things we'll be able to do with AI at the same time.
Yeah. And do you think there are worries around privacy? Because there's a lot of people now concerned about, you know, particularly when you look at the screenwriters of Hollywood, they were worried about their work being plagiarized and easily replicated. Who owned that copyright, you know? And I just wondered whether or not there are any other concerns that the regulators need to be aware of.
I think there are the three big buckets that we have followed so far of concerns. The first one, and you were right in touching it, the Mobile Ecosystem Forum provides, is freely available by way on our website, a consumer trust study, which is aimed at privacy. Every year, this will be the 10th year we do it. It's 15 countries where we do cover, and we talk to users and see what it is. And the news are progressively worrying. I say, this is the word, they accept that they have to share data, but they don't want to share data, but they oppose it. 65% really do not trust what's happening with their data and so on. So that's going to be a big theme, which is always emerging. Our data economy, as we've been running so far on the internet, seem to show some fundamental issues, and we'll have to look at it much more closely. But you also mentioned another topic, which is very important, which is the protection of your own work. So not just your personal information, but what you have created. It's your means of getting a career, etc. Now, what we have been also identified, one of the group we have, is the identity is now a bigger concept. There is the identity of me as a person and the attributes that I want to attach to it. But even things have got identity. Well, sometimes your phone, your cars, and so on, because they're traceable and you need to trace it to other people. But now even data has got an identity. So if you have a music, a song, which is, you know, soft in its nature, all of a sudden you need to be able to identify that. And not just as you do right now with copyrights, but even with the additional attributes that said, where it is, how do I know as is a streaming, and how do I know if I can touch it, if I'm allowed to change it, to use it in my algorithms or not. Now, copyright law keeps a good start point, but technically and solution-wise, we need to come up with new things. So that's an exciting bit, but also very threatening bit, because your career as an artist might be trashed by AI if we're not careful. There are additional things, but we can keep on talking about all of the other elements that we're going to be seeing then, but careful with bias. I think I mentioned the third one.
Yeah, bias is an interesting one, isn't it? You mentioned that because that learned behavior can be quite troublesome, and that's already been brought up by some of the people in the film and creative industry as well.
Yes, AI right now, it's an artificial intelligence. The way it has been deployed most of the times tends to look at ourselves as humans and tend to look at our good and bad behaviors. And unfortunately, it can maximize bad behavior into a circularity element, which is going to see. And that is no surprise. In the history of data, that has always happened. So this is not new with artificial intelligence. That has always been happening. So there are some ethical questions. And the word ethics, a lot of business would run a mile when they hear the word ethics, because it opens up a series of unknown, a series of questions. And sometimes people are busy surviving and doing money. But now, in today's reputation is part of doing business. And your legacy as a company is part of doing business. And the cycle are so fast. So it is not something you can run away from. Big ethical questions. Do you need to understand what AI does, what data uses, what it can? Those are some things that are board level, but even more than board level, at operational level, they'll have to be managed.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with you. The other big area, of course, is one around cybersecurity and some of the challenges. There's more online fraud now than ever before, and people can hack into phones and get hold of data. And I know that telecom providers are having to sort of continually raise their game. It's almost like it's the providers and the criminals almost at loggerheads at each other. But it is a concern, isn't it? Now that everything that we've got is on our mobile phone, what's your thoughts around some of the developments and enhancements around cybersecurity?
Well, you're right. First, we have created a great honeypot, which is the fact that we love to have everything at our fingertips, everything is digital. But now, if a thief were to go to my home, I'd be pretty disappointed. There is nothing of value in there. Everything which really value is in my digital wallet. And it's created a series of attacks. The first thing that I believe is that the frauds are very smart and trying to use our weakness as a system. And one of the biggest weaknesses, we're all doing our own bit and we're trying to do the best. But that little coming together. So, where does a mobile operator remit of protecting you as a consumer end? And what about the bank? Where do their remit start? Making sure that nobody can take money from their accounts. Because all of a sudden, we're now seeing that there are so many companies in between that are really part of this discussion. So the first lesson that we realize is that cybersecurity needs to be a concerted ecosystem answer sometimes, which is very difficult. It means people with different agendas sitting at the same table, trying to work together something. Now, that's the first thing. So people and processes are very important and always been, etc. We got some good news as well, just because we talk about AI. Let's try to fight back, because the number of AI-based attacks is increasing, the sophistication is increasing, the quantity is increasing. So we need to be able to use much more of that weapon against them, and not just should be on receiving ends of AI-based attacks.
So what you're saying is using AI tools to combat the criminals in the same way that they're trying to use technology to combat us is just fight back with equal venom.
And equally saying, it never is just the technology. I mean, you need to use a bit of it's a whack-a-mole. You know, they'll try to use whatever they can use, but sometimes the technology, sometimes it's that companies not talking to each other. Sometimes it's lack of coordinations within the industry. So the great news for us is we can respond it, but being careful. The bad news is this industry, because it's an industry, it's not a couple of people in front of a computer and trying to find things. These are a real organized crime. And this is a real consistent and systematic attempts to find weakness in everything we do. So I think we need to take them seriously and recognize technology is one of the tools. It's not the only tool, but it's a great tool. It's a growing tool. We should definitely use it.
Now, you talked a lot about collaboration with other associations a little bit earlier, and I wholeheartedly agree with that. And we saw that during the pandemic. You know, there were so many representations for support and help coming into government. They couldn't manage it all. And what happened is a number of similar aligned associations who might not necessarily have been ideal bedfellows in the past came together in almost a sense of collaboration to support the industry that they belong to. Good example was in the events industry, where they realized there were no events taking place, and what they needed to do is to promote safety first. So a number of these associations got together and created almost like a safety kite mark, a tick, which I thought was a really good idea. So I wondered whether or not, given how important the mobile phone industry is, and largely just telecoms, what sort of collaborations have you been working on, and how effective have they been?
The two things that probably have distinguished the way we've grown. We believe that we are global. So we're based in Europe, but we do cover with our offices and our members the majority of the globe itself. And that's a great topic, but equally can be a weakness sometimes because we don't then represent a specific country so depth in vertical ways. Equally, I would say we do have a very broad remit, which is everything that under the sun for mobile. But then some of our members have got their own association that only look after a specific interest. Now that came together in one of the examples is when we worked in the UK to address one of the cybersecurity problems, which is phishing or SMS phishing, receiving an SMS that pretends to be your bank and say, click here. That was a real big concern. A lot of money spent trying to figure it out. What we realized is, again, it was a case of getting the right players together and doing things together. MEF by himself would have not been able to do as a mobile ecosystem forum, but there was the UK Finance. The UK Finance is the associations of banks and credit cards in the industry, super well established and representing their groups. UK Mobile represents the mobile operators there. And at one point, we were kind of almost neutral by representing everybody and no one at the same time, bringing international perspective, but not the UK specific knowledge of these two associations had. So we went together and we created a solution together. And the regulator blessed it, and even the UK government blessed it. So in the end, we have something that has become a de facto standard in the industry globally, has a solutions built by three associations that came together and showed that it could be done. And that was in 1998. 5 years later, I've said, you know, our government and other associations worldwide are deploying the similar solution. So it could be done and it did work.
And I think once you've done that, it gives you a great blueprint to explore other types of collaboration, doesn't it? Because, you know, that's just one area, phishing in banks, but of course there are lots of others. And we've touched on cybersecurity risks and stuff like that. And maybe you end up speaking to the security services as well.
We have done and we do. There is a long list that we've now keep track of about 20, the changes, 20 to 30 associations, but in some way, and some of them have been very responsive, some of them have not, and some of them we need to have a deeper collaborations. For instance, I should also say the GSMA, which is a global association of mobile operators, very famous as well. We have collaborated with them to the level of their huge association. Yet even for huge associations, different to cover everything. So they have asked us to look at something. We ask them, you know, leadership on other areas. And that shows how even between a smaller and a bigger association, we can still find something. It keeps on going. Maybe some of your listeners today might say they would like to have a chat with us. This is open door policy. We always like to have a discussion and to understand if something we can do together or not.
What's the vision over the next 2 or 3 years of MEF? What do you want to achieve?
We believe that it's very important to create a scale to be very efficient. What we look at very closely is how much of our money is spent internally to manage associations, and everybody in membership probably know that it takes money to take it all ticking. But we want to spend the majority, more than 80% of our money on a member value creation. So in order to do that, we need to grow and to keep on growing. So growing our member base is important. Reducing our costs, which is why the partnership with our association is becoming very important. We approached some of them and said, would you like to share costs on something? So we have generated events, we try to do joint events with our associations, et cetera, et cetera. Anything we can do to be a bit more efficient, but have bigger impact what we're trying to do. So more bang for your buck is what we tell her.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Well, look, it's really lovely to have you, Dario, on the Membership World podcast today, and I wish you all the very best for your success. How can people find out more about you?
Well, first I would say go on our website, which is www.mobileecosystemforum.com. And if you are looking for something a bit different, you can also find it on our radio. So go on your app provider, Google, Apple, etc., and search for MEF, MEF Radio. At least you will be able to listen to some of our members and what we talk about.
This podcast is sponsored by RD Mobile, providing events and member engagement solutions used by organizations worldwide. RD Mobile can help your organization deliver value at your next virtual or in-person event and throughout the year. Visit us at rdmobile.com to learn more.
That's it for another edition of the Membership World podcast. Thanks again to our sponsor, RD Mobile, and my producer, Neil Whiteside from Freedom One. And until next time, from me, Gordon Glenister, it's bye for now.